Yo, 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 what's up? This is Ed, talk show host of The Aftermath. Be sure to check us out at www.notionentertainment.com. Listen to those funky-ass beats made by Romito.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say, we can't go on together with suspicious minds.
Studio, Hang Time Eric is hanging out with us for a little bit longer. Wanted to give a shout out to all the fans tuning in. Now I want to call this segment the Great Debates. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world, a lot of different viewpoints, a lot of strong feelings out there. And I want to ask Ed and Hang Time, what are your thoughts on a couple of issues? For one, pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
I like pineapple on my pizza. It's nice with some mozzarella. Yeah, cook it. Get it, brown it a little. I love it.
I'm 100% okay with pineapple on a pizza. I don't get people that have issue with it. It's if you don't like pineapple on a pizza, you don't understand how it's supposed to be used on a pizza. If you can get like spicy, sweet, and like a salt in there, like a ham or a bacon, if like you can't wrap your head around that combination of those three things, I like it with jalapenos and like ham or bacon and pineapple, and like if you can't understand how those flavors are supposed to work together, then I think that fault is on the eater, not the pizza.
Yep.
Oh, couldn't agree more with both of you guys. All right. Do you use body wash or bar soap?
Just depends what's around and what I picked up at the store. I don't necessarily have a preference for that.
Okay.
I like a quality bar soap though. Like if I had the money to buy some good quality bar soap, I'd prefer that over some gel Old Spice or something.
Okay.
I've become a little bit of a like mild germaphobe over the years.
Sure.
And I don't like that soap has so much of me already on it, like when I pick it up. And if I'm trying to get like actually clean, I know that it's probably like it. You know, I need the like chemical synthetic Procter and Gamble shit that comes in a plastic thing that I have no idea what it is that I'm rubbing on myself, but I'll take it. If I'm like camping and I know I'm going to be like a little dirty and I know I just got to get the, if I'm like camping or traveling and I've got to get just like the essential parts of myself clean, you know, like my, my areas, my parts, you know, including my face. I can deal with the bar soap, but at home, I prefer, like a body wash. I use a, and what I like about them, and I feel like you can kind of get this with soap too, but I like a lot of suds. And with the body wash, I use a loofah. So like, I really need a lot of suds. I could probably be a little less like delicate with myself than I am. But, you know, I'm 32 years old. I'm allowed to have a preference. And, you know, it just depends on the situation. But I ultimately don't feel that clean unless I've really gotten, like, a lot of suds on me. And I feel like body wash does a better job of that. A lot of the, like, hippie kind of soaps that are, like, you know, they don't create nearly enough suds. I know that they're probably better for your skin with, like, lavender, tea tree oil, and goat's milk and shit like that, but I'm always wanting more. They're expensive, and they don't hold up well in the water. Like, I feel like they, like, whenever I get, like, a $10 bar of soap, which I rarely do, and if I do, it's usually a gift, I will blast through it in, like, a month, and it'll just kind of break and just kind of fall apart. It's like, hey, like, my friend made this soap in her room, and she's trying to start, like, a soap company. I'm like, great, I'll try it out. And it's always like, oh, well, this soap's really not that good. Or, you know, like, hey, try this Amish soap.
It might be a better hand soap. I feel like if you're painting or something and you get some paint on your hands, you're going to need a hand soap to get it off your hands. So if you're really scrubbing your hands, you want to borrow soap sometimes. I think a shower is different, where you maybe want body soap in a shower environment, but washing your hands, I like using a bar of soap.
I like using dish soap on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do a little bit of that too. That's good. I think I'm a bar man myself. A lot of my showers are kind of like, I kind of need to be in and out, and I feel like the bar, I just drag it across my body, in and out real quick. But there is the niceness of, you know, every now and again, you know, if I have a little extra time, I'll use my wife, Mary Dacquery's loofah, and throw on some her body wash, kind of treat myself a little bit. So I think on the whole, though, I'm more of a bar man. How about this one? Is a hot dog... a sandwich, or a cheese coney, to make it, you know, regionalized for us. Is a cheese coney a sandwich?
I do not think a hot dog is a sandwich. I don't think a hot dog is a sandwich because there's not a top and a bottom to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Is a meatball hoagie a sandwich?
Yeah, there's a top and a bottom to it.
Not the always. Sandwich, sometimes the they sandwich? Cut it along the top.
Huh?
Well, if you go to Subway, a lot of their meatball hoagies are cut along the top, and it's the meatballs Subway, are laid in though. There.
I don't even consider their sandwiches.
You consider it food?
It all tastes the same, I feel like. There's a hint of something in Subway that carries between sandwich to sandwich, or sub to sub, whatever you call it. But
so then is an open-faced sandwich just... not a sandwich. An open face sandwich isn't a sandwich. It should just be called an open face.
Do they call them open face sandwiches?
Yeah.
I think that's really taken away from what a sandwich is. I think that's really unfair to the sandwich. Is a hot dog a, I mean, the hot dog, that one's hard, man.
Yeah, because you still eat it, you know, it all stays together in your hand when you're taking a bite into it, and it consistently stays together until the end like a sandwich should. So it does have a lot of qualities of a sandwich.
If you have a bun, all right, so you have one piece of bread, only one piece of bread, and you make a sandwich on it, and you fold it in half, that's essentially what a hot dog is. So is that a sandwich if there's no top to it? If you were to
Like turn it sideways and then the each side of the bun is on the top and bottom. Well, couldn't you just turn the hot dog sideways then? If it's about top and bottom, it doesn't have to be like straight on. Like how sometimes maybe you'll have a piece of pizza and you'll like fold it up or something. It's is that a pizza sandwich? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Let's leave pizza out of this for now.
Yeah. Leave it out. Let's table that one. Okay.
I actually think a lot of it's with the hot dog. You can't put a hot dog on a sandwich. I think you almost can have a sandwich if it was a turkey in a hot dog bun. That's more of a sandwich. But once you put a hot dog on it, the hot dog is too round and thick to be considered sandwich-like. It doesn't fit the norms of a sandwich is the meat that goes on it. Maybe if you cut the hot dog up into bite-sized pizzas and lay it sideways and then put slices of cheese and then fold it and put the buns together, then you have a sandwich. But it's how you prepare your bun and the hot dog. A hot dog on a bun with a strip of ketchup on top is not really a sandwich. That's something else.
Bring up a good point, Ed. Ketchup or mustard?
Mustard has more variety. I like the taste of ketchup, but mustard, you can have so many different types of mustard that, you know, it's fun to try different brands of mustard, but ketchup, they're all going to taste the same.
See, all right. I'm with you on mustard, but this is a really complicated thing with the hot dog thing, because Zach, what you're implying about pizza, if folding pizza in half means that it's a sandwich now, you're saying that you can take any food that folds into half and suddenly it becomes a sandwich. I think that a hot dog is closer to a taco than it is like a sandwich.
Well, see, that is actually a good point, because I was going to ask kind of for tacos, hard shell or soft shell, but we'll table that, because the only reason I would differentiate the taco, because I feel like the taco relies on the tortilla, which is, I think, different than bread.
Mexicans do not eat hard shell tacos. It's not a thing.
That's good, because they shouldn't be, because they're awful.
They're not good. No. I think hard shell tacos are like exclusive to Taco Bell. It's not a thing outside of Taco Bell or like.
But they do have flour or corn tortillas. There is two different type of tortillas.
You know what? I recently found some sort of like rule of thumb with flour and corn. Mm-hmm. And what I've heard, this is very recent I heard this, is breakfast tacos with like eggs and like other stuff that is going to be kind of like wet. Mm-hmm. You want to use
corn.
Flour.
Oh.
But okay. If you're just getting like street tacos that really just come with like meat, cilantro, and onion is typically how they come, then you want to go corn. That's what I've heard, and that makes sense to me. Obviously you can dispute it, but I think that there are like proper ways to treat, like there are purposes for some of these things, you know what I mean? But I prefer, I don't know, there's so many different like,
I like both corn and flour.
So I'm only asking because I feel like I've had more authentic Mexican food living in Texas than I did when I was living in Cincinnati. Do you guys feel like you eat homemade tortillas often?
No.
Homemade? I've never homemade a tortilla.
No. Like, if you go to La Mexicana, may make their tortillas in-house. Oh. With, like, they may make their flour tortillas there, but, like, you know, a lot of the, like, taco places we eat, they'll make the tortillas on site. I don't...
It doesn't happen.
I mean, we have a lot of like tortilla options here, so... I've been thinking about this a lot lately, the grocery store in my neighborhood is a Mexican grocery store, and they have, like, 20 different options of tortillas that you can get. And I'm like, what can I... You know, this goes into another subject. I've been cooking a lot in quarantine, and I don't know if probably some of this has to do with me being cheap at the grocery store, but there are certain things that I don't buy at the grocery store, because there's a lot of bad food at the grocery store, and I don't mean unhealthy food. I mean just, like, bad, flavorless produce.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't... I don't buy avocados anymore. They go... The shelf life... Like, an avocado is good for, like... It's, like...
A six-hour window.
It's, like... it's like a four-hour window. Yeah, exactly. Like, and so I don't buy those anymore. I realize that I don't like jars in a salsa. Do you have a jar of salsa that you buy every time you go to the store?
Certainly not every time. Only if I'm, like, we're doing, like, a burrito or taco night, I might get some salsa to put on it.
What I'm saying is, like, do you have a jar that's, like, your go-to?
I like the Aldi. They have, like, a fire-roasted or a chipotle lime. Mm-hmm. They have these, like, an Aldi brand kind of. I'm an Aldi guy. I like Aldi.
Okay.
And they have theirs that I like.
Yeah, there's mediocre shit at the grocery store, though, you know?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I guess that is with, like, you know, like anything else, there's a premium price for a more premium product, and I guess I'm just not in that category. So, yeah, I like mustards for that reason. There's more variety of them. Ketchup's just ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard, a lot of different things. But the hot dog conversation, the hot dog conversation is, a hot dog is a hot dog. A hot dog is not a sandwich as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Is the same true of an alligator?
An alligator is also just, it's a gourmet hot dog.
What about the double dog?
Sans hot dog.
Sans, no.
Because the alligator has the pickle.
I think the alligator also has a hot dog on it.
I thought it was just a pickle slice. Slice. It's both?
It's,
okay.
It's a pickle, hot dog, mayonnaise, and cheese, and maybe onions.
Interesting.
Dude, that Dixie Chili in your neighborhood, like right by your house, they sell beer there. Did you know that?
I did not. Yeah. I got to go to this Dixie.
It's really good.
They're...
Yeah, it's really good.
I got to try them out.
Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, okay. I got a couple more. Make this quick. Harry Potter or Hatchet as, like, the best young adult novel?
I am a Hatchet fan, but I would have preferred Hatchet versus Outsiders, and I could have talked about that for probably an entire Aftermath episode of and go into DeBrian's winner. And, you know, Ponyboy and Stan Gold and Daryl and all the guys in The Outsiders.
Okay.
I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Never really liked the author. Totally a Hatchet fan. I've learned a lot from Hatchet.
Okay, that's cool. How about peeing in the shower, yes or no? I'll be candid. I pee every time I get in the shower, full stop.
It's a reaction.
The hot water just brings it out of you.
Yeah. I mean, it can be an accident if the hot water pulls it out of you. I don't necessarily intentionally pee in the shower, but I have heard if somebody had athlete's foot, that if you pee on your feet, if you have athlete's foot, that it goes away. I've never tried it. I've never had athlete's foot, but I've always pondered that if I would be willing to do that if I had athlete's foot. To take it away for free just to pee on your feet.
What if you had athlete hands or athlete face? Would you do it then? Huh? What if you found that it worked on your feet and you had, like, and your doctor was like, you have it on your nose?
You're shooting that stream up, baby. That's what you got to do. How about pool? Peeing in the pool?
No, I do not do that anymore.
You used to?
When I was a kid, or when it was Ben's pool when I was a teenager. I would pee in my pants and then jump in Ben's pool. So, like, before I got in the water, I would stand there and piss in my pants and then jump in Ben's pool.
Ben Gadoli, right?
I only did it like 3 or 4 times.
Is it okay, or do you remove clothes when you poop?
I don't do that.
Articles of clothing.
I don't see any problem with it. I don't do that.
See, I'm definitely shoes and pants if I'm, like, at home.
You take your shoes off?
Well, I mean, I'm at home. I'm usually not wearing shoes. Like, that's why I avoid pooping out in public because it's just an uncomfortable situation. But when I do it, like, at the house, I'm usually, like, don't have shoes on already, and if I have pants on, they're just all the way off.
Is any subject off topic for you guys here?
So, yeah, as I was saying, I always take off articles of clothes when I go to poop.
I definitely don't.
That's fair.
I think that the older that I've gotten, and I think to kind of add to this minor, like, I don't want to say it's germaphobe, but I really try to time it so I can get in the shower afterwards and clean myself.
Very good, yes.
I don't have to, obviously, all the time, but I try to if I can. The older that I get, it just makes more sense to me. But, you know, I think these are the things that I definitely think about, you know. I'm like, I'm going to, you know, especially this summer, I'm only showering like every 3 days. I'm like, I need to be a little more strategic about like ingesting, you know, what comes in and what goes out. And I got a lot of time on my hands to think about this stuff.
Yeah, it's like, it's the adage, you shit, shower, shave, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like shit, shave, shower. I want to get all that excess stubble, like, you know, off my, like, you know, if it falls through. But, I mean, you definitely never shower than shit. That's just, like, a terrible combination of activity.
Yeah, yeah. Then you
never
out.
Shower
yeah.
shit.
That's
a go-to. How about when you do wipe, do you sit or do you stand? See, I'm a sitter. I don't understand standards, but I know it's a thing. Some people out there stand to wipe.
I feel like I get better access when I'm standing.
When you're you're a stander.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Do you like to do a kind of a squat to keep your butt cheeks kind of opened up a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. We'll get this on Zoom next time. I gotta go, and I'll give you like a, you know, tutorial of what I'm going for, what I'm looking for when I'm done.
I want the demonstration. It can go on the Aftermath's Instagram.
Well, how everybody wipes their ass, I feel like, is dependent on who taught them how to do it. You know, like, if I tried doing it another way, I don't even know if I could. It's like brushing your teeth with your other hand. Have you ever tried that?
Oh, wow.
Weird.
That is hard. That's a good
really
question.
Really hard.
And you're a lefty, too, so, like, it's already a mirror swap for, like, say, me and you.
I do with my right hand.
Do you?
I do. Okay. I'm not ambidextrous at all, but I, like, throw with my left hand, I kick with my right foot, I write with my right hand, I hit this-handed. What is this? Left-handed.
That's a lefty right
hand. I play guitar right-handed. I play drums right-handed. Oh, you know what I realized? I went to the shooting range the other day. I shoot a shotgun left-handed,
lefty.
And I shoot a pistol right-handed.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
You got a lot of... You have some pretty good dexterity, though.
But
like,
I can do anything with
my left
hand. With both, like...
Yeah.
That's what always helped you out in basketball.
Yeah, I gotta get my truck out of here, so... The guy came with his tow truck, so he's gonna take
all
my
right,
truck,
I guess.
So.
You have to go. Well, thank you so much, Hang Time Eric.
It was great being here. Great catching up with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Hang Time.
Cool. Let's do it again. Keep in touch, boys. Y'all take care. Thanks
you
for
too.
Having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Always.
All right, love it. Great,
boys. Violence is the fruit of an unreached understanding that flowers from the lips of scoundrels. It is a forest so dense and rooted in our past. It tempts us to become lost in its darkness. It stinks like the piss test you were forced to take just before you were told you didn't meet the standards of integrity that this organization strives to maintain. Buy the known folk songs about ATM machines that produce the likeness of the blaze of the Trail of Tears, issuing overdraft fees from beyond the grave, prison TV shows in an endless queue containing the robust nourishment of a commissary. This is why we cannot afford to close an open casket. You protect no one by obscuring a mirror that reflects our own problematic reality. Allow me.
through the annals of time. The spirit of competition has brought humanity together to see who's the greatest of them all. The Games of Olympus, medieval tournaments, the NCAA March Madness tournament. Today, the Aftermath brings to you a 16-team tournament to determine the greatest breakfast cereal of them all. This is Cereal Showdown.
And we're back. We're here in studio. My wife, Mary Dacre, has joined us. You want to say hi to our listeners, Mary?
Hi.
That's right. And she is here to join us for Cereal Showdown.
All
right. Special bracket series.
Let's get it going. So we have 16 cereals battling against one another. Explain it, Zachary Dacre.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to determine here once and for all what is the best breakfast cereal. And, you know, I think we got a lot of good matchups out here today in the first round. And let's go to the first match. We have the one-seeded Cheerios versus the 16th seed Fruit Loops.
Ooh. Fruit Loops. There's a lot of flavor there. A lot of each bite is slightly different. Cheerios is pretty bland, but it's just such a staple to, you know, the American breakfast.
It really is. Like, it is like the default, I think, of breakfast cereals. But I wanna draw attention to Honey Nut Cheerios being maybe like the most like standard
that hint of sugar
cereal.
Yeah. It never gets old, does it?
No, it's always good. Like regular Cheerios, not so much, but the Honey Nut Cheerios are like, you know, if you're out somewhere, if you're like in like an Econo Lodge getting on their continental breakfast in the morning, you know, if you just want to grab a cereal and, you know, you have your Special K, you got some other bland kind of flavorless cereal, but then you see Honey Nut Cheerios, you're grabbing the Honey Nut Cheerios.
Go for the Honey Nut.
Honey Nut.
Yeah.
Well, what about Fruit Loops? I think Ed was making a really good point about it being very flavorful.
Yeah, and there's just a little more excitement to it. Like, you know, the bird.
Toucan Sam.
Yeah, Toucan Sam. Like, what does Cheerios have? Like, I mean, there's no, like, mascot. There's nothing to it.
It's got the honeybee.
It's got a little honeybee.
For Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah.
But Toucan Sam has a lot more personality than the honeybee, right?
I guess.
I'm going for an upset with Fruit Loops. I'm going with Fruit Loops.
Going with the 16th seed? I think for just the sheer versatility of the Honey Nut Cheerios, I was a really big fan of Fruit Loops back in the day, but I think, like, if I just want something that's just a good, reliable, standard, fair, you know, no frills, like, I just gotta get something down, get out of the house, but I want it to taste good, I think Honey Nut Cheerios is nice and versatile. Let's throw this to you, Mary. Tiebreaker.
Yeah, I would eat both of them, but I'd probably go with the Honey Nut Cheerios over Fruit Loops.
Yeah, I understand, but, what do we got up next? We have Flakes versus Pops. 8th seat for Flakes, 9th seat Pops.
That's right. Now, you know, I think Flakes is kind of tricky because on the one hand, I think that Frosted Flakes might be kind of similar to the Honey Nut Cheerios as being like an all-around, everyday go-to. Like, you can always get down some Frosted Flakes. But I think like the wide-ranging score of like say Corn Flakes or Special K, that's just really boring. I find like that to be one of the more boring things. But you got Pops, which is
just that name.
You gotta have my Pops. Yeah.
I have some roots with Pops. I mean, that was something a weekly kind of tradition for me back when I was maybe in between fourth and fifth grade, of eating a bowl of Pops, and it really brings back some memories of childhood and everything. And you know, I hold Pops close to me, and Flakes, if you have too much of it, it's just too much fiber.
Yeah,
it's like I've eaten a lot of Flakes in my life, but It doesn't necessarily bring back fond memories. It's more, you know, a recession type time with the flakes. Like, you're going to be, when a recession hits, you're eating a lot of flakes. You know what I mean? Maybe corn flakes and you're adding sugar. And it's like a kind of a Great Depression type cereal. So when Pops comes around, it's just, it's good. I'm going with Pops. I like Pops.
I think you kind of sold me. I think I have to go on Pops on this one too. Mary, do you have any kind words for flakes or?
Well, my go-to cereal is a Honey Bunches of Oats, which is technically like flakes, but it also has like granola clusters in it. That's my go-to. Yeah. But Pops is just, I don't know, it's pretty good. It brings me back to my childhood again. So, but it's already 2-1 on Pops, so I guess we're going with Pops right now.
Going with the Pops. Pops makes it through.
All right.
And now we have the four-seeded Pebbles. That's Fruity and or Cocoa versus the Rice Krispies. I think these are two like pretty similar styles.
Yeah, similar.
You got flavored Krispies, basically.
I'm definitely going with Pebbles. I mean, it's just what you want to top off your day. Like, you know, when the munchies come around, you want the Fruity Pebbles. And it, like, sometimes you might have to leave home and go to the store just to get the Fruity Pebbles because it's just this craving that you can't resist. Rice Krispies, just never had that attachment to it that I would have to immediately, you know, get it, stop what I'm doing to go get some Rice Krispies. That's never happened, but there's been moments where I just have to stop in the middle of whatever project I'm doing just to go get Fruity Pebbles.
I like that. So you're a Fruity Pebbles guy? How do you feel about Cocoa?
Cocoa Pebbles. Really similar. It's happened before too. But I think the Fruity Pebbles just has a more, has a little more jazz to it, you know, just a little more. I mean, the cocoa, they use high quality cocoa for that. It's obvious.
Oh, for sure. It's interesting. All right. I'm going to throw this one over to Mary. Now, Mary, I know you're a big fan of the Rice Krispie treats, like things that you make out of Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
So does that affect where you're going to cast your vote in this?
Kind of, because remember, I think it was like last summer or some summer ago, we got a weed Fruity Pebble bar.
Ooh.
And I mean, it was delicious and had weed in it. So, so I think I'm going with the Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, there you go.
You can make the same things with Pebbles, I think, as Rice Krispies. Like, there can be Pebble treats as Rice Krispie treats. Like,
yeah,
you just gotta get
Pebble treats. Yeah, and you get the flavor too. I'm totally with you guys. Pebbles, this is a landslide. Due respect to the Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Good for them. You boys are doing your work. Say hi to Keebler Elves for me. But Pebbles, you're going forward. We move on to the 5th-seeded Raisin Bran versus the 12th-seeded Cookie Crisp.
Oh, I love Cookie Crisp. But Raisin Bran, again, like, can carry you through months of, say you lose a job or something, and it's just like, you just need Raisin Bran to get by for, say, 8 months to a year or so. Just eating that, like, and using your reserves and your, like, fat cells for the rest of the stuff your body needs. But Raisin Bran, like, that hint of the fruit and carbohydrates in the flakes mixed, like, that's enough nutrition to just, like, get the body throughout the day and to carry forward if, like, you were, you know, down and out and just didn't have enough to buy, you know, regular groceries. Raisin Bran can really get you through, but Cookie Crisp is another, like, luxury. I mean, it's like the, if you were eating Cookie Crisp every day, like, life is pretty good, I would assume. That's like the sign of privilege, is eating Cookie Crisp every day. That's like, that's, I would say, Like, if you're looking at different types of dog food, like, Cookie Crisp would be, like, the all-meat, like, dog food. Like, the really high-priced Blue Buffalo Taste of the Wild dog food would be Cookie Crisp, while Raisin Bran is, like, you know, just dog chow.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This is definitely a styles clash right here. You got the like kind of the working man's Raisin Bran versus the like kind of bougie Cookie mm-hmm. Crisp. Now, did you say you're casting your vote with the Cookie Crisp or the Raisin Bran?
I don't know. I'm kind of. I think
debating.
The country would be pretty bad off without Raisin Bran. Like if we can survive without Cookie Crisp, but like. As a species, humans cannot survive without having Raisin Bran available. So I'm going with Raisin Bran. Just it's kind of like a human rights type move. And like Cookie Crisp, like we can go on without it. But we liked it, but we can go on. I would go with Raisin Bran.
Raisin Bran, one to Raisin Bran. Mary, where are you going with your vote?
I'm not a really big fan of raisins, so, like, I'm going with Cookie Crisp, because I remember eating it as a child, and, like, who doesn't want to just sit down and eat a big bowl of cookies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know I want to.
But, Zachary Daiquiri, he loves his Raisin mm-hmm. Bran. Gets him through.
It is. It really gets me going in more ways than one. You know, I am intrigued by you just pointing out that Cookie Crisp is just the beautiful visual quality to a 5-year-old of just eating a bowl mm-hmm. of cookies. And that's some nostalgia right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it ended up being, you know, just this little, it's not really a cookie, but it's the thought of a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pre-diabetic in me really wants to cast my vote for the Cookie Crisp from my childhood. But I think as like, you know, a guy in his 30s now, I have to think I have to go mm-hmm. with Raisin Bran on this one, if only for the fiber reason.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can get knotted up sometimes mm-hmm. and that the Raisin Bran can just get my bowels just flushed, man. And for a while there, I, you know, had gotten really backed up and I ate a couple bowls of Raisin Bran every couple mm-hmm. days and it just kept me really regular yeah. after that. So I think for, you know, 8-year-old Zach wants to give this one to the Cookie Crisp, but I gotta be my age now, and I gotta give this one to Raisin Bran.
I understand. Well, Raisin Bran moves on.
All right. So now we move over to the west side of the bracket. We have the 2 seed Lucky Charms mm-hmm. versus the 15 seed Shredded Wheat.
I hate both of them.
I knew that, and that's why this was probably my most underhanded tactic.
So,
this is like Coach K talking to the selection committee to get Duke to play at home or something.
So could I pick out all of the marshmallows at a Lucky Charms and then eat it? Because then I would mm-hmm. eat it, but...
Well, are you picking out all the shredded wheat that doesn't have the frosted on it?
No.
Yeah, I've never seen a Lucky Charms real, like, they've never done, like, a special edition without the marshmallows. Like, the marshmallows is part
yeah.
of Lucky Charms. It is the charm.
It is Lucky Charms.
But, I mean, are you doing it before or after the milk? Are you picking out the marshmallows once the milk's in the bowl?
I would probably do it before.
Yeah. Well, then I think that's cheating, but if you allow the milk to get on there and then you pull out the marshmallows and you choose just not to eat it, then that would be a fair... But I think in the style of this competition, the only be fair, the marshmallows will be included with your Lucky Charms. So,
yeah, technically, I think it was... I don't know if Lucky Charms is Kellogg... And maybe Post had one back in the day. I think it was they had Alphabet
uh-huh,
cereal.
I remember that. Oh, that was good.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so Alphabet's had... There were mm-hmm. two versions. He had Alphabet's with marshmallows and Alphabet's without marshmallows.
That was great. I wish I could find those. Oh, man.
They are hard to find. I don't know if they even make them anymore.
I don't
But that would have been up your option, Mary, yeah, of getting your the charms without the, or the lucky without the charms, if you will. All right. Anyone have any kind words to say about shredded wheat?
I may have eaten more shredded wheat than any other cereal.
Really? You're a shredded wheat guy.
But I prefer Lucky Charms. That's just the most sales happen with shredded wheat. Like, shredded wheat is something you can get 99 cents a box. I mean, the generic, yeah, the generic brands have been able to do shredded wheat since, like, you know, shredded wheat cereal has probably been around since the Roman times. I mean, that's really all, like, the granary would be doing back in early civilization. I mean, really, shredded wheat is responsible for kind of the entire marketplace. I mean, that was probably the first thing being sold, is some wheat and with a hint of sugar. And but, I mean, Lucky Charms, I'm glad to see what, like, cereal has evolved from. Like, shredded wheat, right, is the first cereal, and Lucky Charms is the most magical cereal. And I'm going with Lucky Charms just because I guess I'm more of a visionary than looking into the past as, like, a historical person.
I like it. I like it. Okay, Mary, you're on the hot seat now because I kind of stacked this round against you because I know that you hate both of these. Who are you who are you going to begrudgingly give your vote to between Lucky Charms and shredded wheat?
Because with shredded wheat, I don't like the texture of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it. And Lucky Charms, I don't like the texture of the marshmallows.
Yeah, it's too spacey feeling.
I'm a texture person. So, if I had to, I guess I would go with Lucky Charms, but I wouldn't eat, mm-hmm, the marshmallows.
Just remember, before you pull out the marshmallows, you gotta let the milk get on there first. For a fair competition.
All right, and yes, I am absolutely 100% going with Lucky Charms. It is my favorite. Shredded wheat is probably my least favorite. So, my Lucky Charms won at least one round. At least one. Which brings us to, I think, this is a tough matchup right here. You got Puffs, which include Cocoa or Reese's, versus Trix, the cereal famously for kids.
Cocoa Puffs, that's another high quality cocoa they're using there.
Absolutely.
And Reese Puffs, I mean, that's like, and you only can get it with Reese's. There's no, I don't think there's a knockoff peanut butter puff, really. That's, it's, you know, you're gonna get Reese Puffs. It's like, there's no cheap version of that. You're not gonna get that under $4 a box. Trix, there's no good tasting off brand of Trix.
That's true.
You have to get the name brand Trix. I'm going with Trix. I like the name too. I like, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Mare Bear. Let's hear it.
I'd probably go with Trix. So I know, like, back in the day they made Trix with, like, the actual, like, fruit shapes, mm-hmm, and then, like, a couple years ago, I want to say, they just came out with, like, the Puffs of Trix. Mm-hmm. Does that change it in any way? Yeah.
Well, if you're a texture person, did you notice the difference between when it went from the, like, fruit shape, you get, like, a little, you know, bundle of grapes-looking piece, yeah, you got the little banana-looking piece,
I
all the
know,
little
I
things?
I guess it's just, like, the, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been kind of on a budget for a while, and I just haven't eaten either of these cereals.
Yeah.
Since more privileged times.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even know that there was a change. I thought there was still, you know, banana shaped.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Trix, just by definition, is moving on. I think that I was going to vote with Trix as well. You know, I think going back to my earlier argument about you know, the little single serve packets of cereal you might get at an Econolodge continental breakfast, and you know, I think if you, that's like the kind of the third option there. is whenever they have these places have their breakfast cereal options, if Trix is there, which is like always the next thing they have, you're getting Trix. I know I said it about the Honey Nut Cheerios, but I mean Trix versus Honey Nut Cheerios. They never have Cocoa Puffs, which is nice because I think that Cocoa Puff milk, the leftover milk from Cocoa Puffs,
that's pretty good.
Is some of the best chocolate milk you can get. You know,
and that's kind of a way to save money too. Like you don't have to buy a half gallon of chocolate milk if you just go ahead and buy the Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that.
You get some nourishment, and then you get a nice little chocolate beverage at the end. Trix milk, not so much, but I think the experience of eating the Trix cereal, I think gives it the edge too. I'm gonna cast my vote for the Trix as well. So Trix moves on. Now, this is an interesting matchup we have now. We have the third seed Captain Crunch versus the 14th seed Honey Smacks. See, I think Honey Smacks are an often overlooked.
Can you describe Honey Smacks again?
Well, they're really light. They're light. They're kind of like, like almond shaped, I guess. They're small. They have like kind of a slit down the middle.
There was like a frog on the box, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their mascot's the frog. Now, my dad was a big fan of the Honey Smacks, and he was a big fan of the Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch is just like, it shreds the roof of your mouth, I feel like.
It is kind of the hardest, I think.
Like, dangerous. Really harsh to eat.
Like the roof of your mouth. You know, because it almost scares me off of getting Captain Crunch in general. You know, there's also like the other...
Yeah, you gotta be a real tough person eating Captain Crunch.
There's like Oops All Berries, Captain Crunch. They got like the peanut butter Captain Crunch is pretty good. And I think the shapes might even be slightly different. But yeah, these Captain Crunch, while delicious, are really dangerous to the roof of your mouth.
For some reason, I look at this in more like a historical context or something. Like I'm kind of looking at like kind of like an... If you're going to get something appraised at like the antique mall and you have a collector's item and you have like this box of Captain Crunch from 1957 and a box of Honey Smacks, which one from, you know, the same era, which one would be valued more like as a collector's item, like for the Captain Crunch character and the Honey Smack frog character? I think there is maybe, like, though Captain Crunch, there's more people that are familiar with it and would maybe, you would think, outbid Honey Smacks. You would think Captain Crunch, a lot of people would be bidding on it. But I think there's fans out there that are diehard enough for Honey Smacks as collectors that would still outbid the masses of people that would be bidding on, say, a Captain Crunch antique or something. And I think there's somebody out there that just would desperately want a Honey Smacks 1957 box that they would still, you know, outprice a Captain Crunch antique classic box. And like, I'm going with Honey Smacks as a more valuable cereal to the early economy of America after World War II.
Ooh, Ed, pulling for the upset. Actually, I like that. That's like if you have the option of you can either get like an original Mickey Mouse or an original Oswald the Rabbit. Like two like super early Walt Disney designs. You know, I think Oswald the Obscure. Mm-hmm. Oswald the Rabbit might, you know, draw a bigger price because it's, you know, it's...
Yeah. It didn't last the test of time, but is worth to be, like, put in the museum to be remembered, you know?
Yes, historical curiosity kind of deal. It's like this whole other side that no one really knows about. All right, Mary, who you got in this matchup between the 3-seeded Captain Crunch and the 14th-seeded Honey Smacks?
I'm probably going with Honey Smacks.
Whoa.
Wow. That is another big upset. The 14-seeded Honey Smacks takes down the Cap'n. The Captain of Crunch has fallen.
Right in the first round. Amazing.
You say your dad liked Captain Crunch.
He likes both of these. He likes the Captain Crunch and he likes the Honey Smacks.
Captain Dave likes the Captain Crunch.
You know, I might not have ever known about Honey Smacks if he didn't like Honey mm-hmm. Smacks. You know, I probably wouldn't have searched that brand out otherwise.
Yeah.
Captain Dave.
Captain.
All right, which brings us to the last round, the last match of the first round, with the 6-seeded Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus the 11-seeded Golden Grahams.
So, they're pretty much the same thing.
Very similar.
You think so?
You tell me the distinct differences between the two.
There's more cinnamon.
Nothing. No.
Well, the Golden Grahams, I think, are a little stronger. I think that in milk, Golden Grahams, you know, retain a little more firmness to them. The Cinnamon Toast Crunch, they...
I feel like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch has more, like, sugar. Like, mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, like, the Golden Grahams is more cinnamony.
Now, would you include French Toast Crunch in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch? I would.
I love French Toast Crunch.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like a cornflake versus a bran flake in some ways, and then slightly different types of sugar and slightly different. There's an aftertaste. I feel like the Golden Graham aftertaste lasts a little longer than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a lot lighter and can go down easier. It's easier to eat a whole box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Golden Grahams. But if you want something that's, like, gonna last longer, I feel like Golden Grahams, it could be shaken in its box a lot more and not fall apart, whereas, like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like, if it's getting knocked around when it's being delivered to the grocery store, it's gonna, like, start crumbling and falling apart and not be that perfect square. I'm going with Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams, giving it to the Cinderella story of the Southwest regional bracket. If Golden Grahams make it through, all right, Mary, what do you think? Cinnamon Toast Crunch or
I'm
Golden
going
Grahams?
With the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh boy, it's on me now. You know, I think it has been I think too long for me to truly remember Golden Grahams. As much as I do the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I think that I, for familiarity of knowing exactly what I'm voting for, I think I have to give it to the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. If only because, like you said, Ed, it does just go down a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. I think there's, despite being called Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Golden Grahams have the crunch because mm-hmm. they stay pretty mm-hmm. hard, you know?
It's a sturdy cereal.
I'm sorry about that. I got to move Cinnamon Toast Crunch forward. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. All right. So now we moved on to the second round.
Elite Eight.
The Elite Eight, if you will. And we have the 1-seeded Cheerios versus the 9-seeded Pops.
It's
getting harder now.
Yeah, they're very, very different cereals.
Are you going to go with your boomer bust kind of mentality? Like, you know, hard times versus periods mm-hmm. of decadence? Would this fall into Cheerios being the working man?
I feel like Cheerios and Pops may be the same ingredients in some way, but Pops is like this revolution of cooking, like, how can you take a grain and poof it into, like, the pop corn, into, like, a little fluffy pop. It's kind of an amazing thing what they've done with making that airy pop that we have with Pops. So it's very forward-thinking. They have to have some special machine that makes the pop pop, you know? I mean, they must have a patent on whatever has created it. Cheerios, they just make a perfect Cheerio, so it's just like a stamping process, I guess, that they use in the plant.
Right.
I'm going with Cheerios. It'd be a sad day if Cheerios just wasn't on the shelf anymore. And I think we can go on without Pops.
Mary, where are you taking in this epic showdown?
They're both good. I eat both of them. But I think I'm leaning more towards Pops. Just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something I grew up with, again. And
you got to hold on to it.
Yeah. So, Pops. Well,
what's Zachary Dackery going to do?
You got to have them.
You got to have them. Oh, boy. Okay, you got to have my Pops. But I would like to see an upset. The ninth seed take down the one seed. But I can't get over the fact that I just see the strength of Honey Nut Cheerios just being just an absolute just go-to. Just you can always be in the mood for Honey Nut Cheerios. It's a good start. Yep. It's a good like nightcap. So you can go either way with it. I'm going to have to go with Cheerios. We'll carry it through to the final four. Man. Cheerios, this is just a powerhouse right now. Cheerios. It's taken down Fruit Loops and Pops so far.
And then when your baby gets teeth, she'll probably...
I'll be snacking on those snacking things. On yeah. Them
yeah. And they're good without milk,
they are
too.
A nice little baby snack.
Baby snack. Didn't think about that.
They're yeah. good just in a Ziploc bag, you know, without any milk.
Yeah.
You know, can be a nice lunch, the pack.
Yeah, it's versatile. All right, now we have two middle of the bracket stalwarts. We got Pebbles versus Raisin Bran. This is another styles clash we got coming up. So Pebbles is, you know, this is a good sugary treat versus Raisin Bran, which, you know, has more like health benefits above just being like, you know, a good, you know, morning stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna indulge my inner fat kid here. I'm gonna go Pebbles. I'm casting my vote. I'm gonna get ahead of out in front of you guys, and I'm gonna give Pebbles my vote on this one. I, you know, I'm a Cocoa Pebbles kind of guy. I like fruity, but like cocoa, I've eaten a lot of Cocoa Pebbles in the middle of the night after a joint or two, and like Cocoa Puffs just makes a great bowl of chocolate milk afterwards.
Mary, what's your opinion?
I'm just gonna go with Pebbles again because I'm not a big fan of that Raisin Bran, so.
I understand, because I'm going with Pebbles, too. I'm trying to put myself first, like, you know, in these dark times, you know, sometimes you have to look out just for yourself.
Yes. Okay. I like it. So now we have the 2-seed Lucky Charms versus the 10th-seeded Trix. Sugar Rush.
Yeah.
The Sugar Rush division. Holy cow. Okay, now you guys both know me. Going away the goat. You know, this is tough for me because personally, like, Trix is, like, a top 5 cereal for me. But I think just for my own, like, personal enjoyment, Lucky Charms, just that's my go-to. So it's an automatic yes vote for Lucky Charms for me. It's going to come down to you two.
I'm going with Trix because, you know, there's marshmallows. They're nasty.
Wow. Hate to do it to you, Zachary Dackery, but I'm going with Trix. It's just it's a great name. It's better than Lucky Charms.
Oh boy, the 10th seeded Trix takes down the 2-seeded Lucky Charms in the Elite Eight, moving on to the Final Four. You know, I don't even blame you guys. You know, Trix, it, you know, if you're not into the marshmallows, there are some people that just don't like the marshmallows, like Mary here. Trix is there's a really good like smooth texture to Trix when they get milk on them. That just, you know, they're not yet soggy, but they're not quite as hard. They have a really really good middle ground of like once it's been saturated with milk, but before it goes bad, there's a really good quality to Trix when you eat them. So, you know, I'm not even mad about this. I'm just glad my Lucky Charms
made it
as far as they did.
It tastes like styrofoam. They have the texture of styrofoam.
It's something you would eat on the moon or something.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just not ready for it. You're not ready for Lucky Charms yet.
No, it's like styrofoam, man.
All right, which brings us to the last matchup in the Elite Eight. We got the 14th seeded Honey Smacks taking on the 6th seeded Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I'm going with Honey Smacks again. It's just something that really like brings me back. Maybe I went camping sometime and hit a box of Honey Smacks or something, and it's just something that really just brings me down to earth. It's I like Honey Smacks, and it's still around. You can still buy it. You can still get it off the shelf. It's overlooked a lot, but I like it. Not a huge Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan.
See, I'm the opposite. I like my Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so I'm going to go with Cinnamon Toast Crunch because it brings me back to when I first moved out and I was on a cereal diet, and that's what I would eat. So, yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, wow, putting me in the hot seat for the final matchup in the Elite Eight. You know, I think they both taste fantastic. I think they're both good, solid cereals. I think for this matchup, I'm gonna go the nostalgia route, and I have to go Honey Smacks. Oh, wow. I think for this route,
did not expect that. You're doing it for your dad. Yeah,
no,
I think.
Being a kid and just, you know, the Honey Smacks, there's just a very interesting texture and taste, and I think it's kind of really unlike any other cereal that's out mm-hmm. there. You know, I think it's one of the most unique cereals. And yeah, I just remember just being a little kid and, you know, maybe I'd gone through all of my cereal and I was like, oh, let's eat some Smacks. I don't have this very often. I was always impressed. It was like that one little cereal treat that, you know.
Yep.
I'm to go with the 14th seed. Do you believe in miracles? Wow. This is our Cinderella right here.
It sure is. Making a run Honey to Smacks. The final four.
All right. Final four. Semifinals, we got the 1-seeded Cheerios versus the 4-seeded Pebbles.
If I had to choose between the two, I'd probably just go with the Cheerios because, you know, it's Cheerios.
Mm-hmm. See, I gotta take the opposite tack. I have to go Pebbles on this because I think Pebbles, even though all of the Osanas that I said in Cheerios' name, and Honey Nut Cheerios for the first couple rounds, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, if it came down to it, life or death, I'm going Pebbles. I don't know the scenario in which I die between the choices, but, you know, if I was dying, and I had the choice of, okay, you have one last cereal meal, and you can either have, like, Honey Nut Cheerios or some cocoa or Fruity Pebbles, I think that, you know, on my deathbed, before they strap me into the chair, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a bowl of Pebbles. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. It's an interesting Final Four we have here. It's like flavor versus the bland staples. And I totally get what you're saying, like the whole deathbed Cheerios versus Pebbles. I've been a strong supporter of Pebbles during this whole race to the end. It's going to be sad to see Cheerios go, but I'm going with Pebbles.
All right. Pebbles is our first to make it to the finals. We have the 4th-seeded Pebbles, which brings us to the Western Division, Division of Upsets, which sees the 10th-seeded Trix versus the 14th-seeded Honey Smacks. What a showdown here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Trix has done a lot for kids. It really has. It's just like an imaginative cereal. It's got a killer name, so does Honey Smacks. Both pretty clever cereals.
Got the hare and the frog as your mascots.
Mm.
Trix claim to be for kids.
Yep.
Honey Smacks, I think they say that for everyone, right? Isn't that the tagline? Honey Smacks, we're for everyone. No, no, okay. Get your smack on.
Yeah, I just smacks, tricks. Honey smacks, yeah. I'll go with honey smacks.
Honey smacks, oh man. Cinderella season for honey smacks could go on. Mare Bear, what are you feeling in this one? Tricks are for kids or the honey smacks?
I probably ate more tricks than I have honey smacks. I remember like going camping and you get those individual like cereal boxes and like honey smacks would be in them, but like I would never eat it because I guess one of the siblings ate it. But like, so I probably had more tricks than honey smacks. So I'm going with tricks.
Oh man.
It's all on you.
It all comes down to me. Where do I go with this one? Oh man. Got the nostalgia. Good times with the honey smacks back in the day. It's obscure. It's a 14 seed, but just tricks. That's it's just a classic. You can't hate on tricks. I used to love tricks. I'd still love tricks. I'd eat tricks right now if it were put in front of me. You know, I think this is life and death right here. This is the most important decision of my life. Well, actually, you know, if I am, you know, they're going to take me into the gas chamber. They're going to fill up the room with gas and kill me because of all of my crimes I've committed. Maybe I would eat honey smacks.
Really?
Maybe I wouldn't go with the obvious choice of tricks. Maybe I would think back of, like, memories of my father and being like, wow, what would he say about this that I'm about to
But tricks is so satisfying sometimes.
Oh man, you're right. It is really satisfying. Like there's like, you know, in a texture to texture, I think that Trix does have the better texture. In fact, Honey Smacks almost has like this little like kind of film thing that's like in the center ridge. It is like a weird little like cornflake part that comes off of it sometimes, you know. Oh, the texture. Okay. Oh man. I'm going to do it.
What are you going to do?
I'm sorry, Ed. I gotta give us tricks on this
All
one.
All right. It's going to be an interesting battle. Man. Tricks between pebbles.
Tricks and pebbles for all the marbles. So Fruity Pebbles and Tricks, I think, are they're pretty good. They're pretty good comp. Mm-hmm. They got a good comp ratio right there. They're similar. They're both fruity.
You know, Pebbles has the advantage of having Cocoa Pebbles. It's like, you know, having that all-star player on the team, it's like having two shooting guards, you know, Coco and Fruity versus Tricks.
They do have the depth advantage.
But what would the world be without Tricks?
I would want to live in that world.
Like if Pebbles never existed, if Pebbles never existed.
Yeah, Spokesman, I think, is an interesting thing. So you have Tricks has the rabbit. But Pebbles have the Flintstones. That's a big one right there. Those are.
But you got to give
that cheating though.
You got to give props to Tricks for being a one of a kind thing. Like Pebbles kind of hopped on the bandwagon of Flintstones. Like if their Flintstones weren't campaigning for Pebbles, would they be as big of a hit for all these years? It's hard to say, but I've been rooting for Pebbles this whole time. I like the Flintstones. Flintstones definitely have had more of an impact on me than Tricks, and I'm hopping on that bandwagon too, so I'm going with Pebbles.
Four-seeded Pebbles gets one vote. Mary, are you dissenting, or are you giving it to him?
I'm probably going to give it to him, because with Pebbles, you have the option of having like Fruity Pebbles. Mm-hmm. Or Cocoa Pebbles, but with Tricks, you just get fruity little tricks. So, you gotta go with the Pebbles.
Yeah. I think it might be unanimous, guys. I think Pebbles, the fourth-seeded Pebbles, wins the cereal showdown and is definitively the best cereal of all time.
Yeah.
You got the fruit, you got the chocolate. The best of both worlds whenever you want it.
Uh-huh.
It's a satisfying little crunch. The texture's good. Good milk at the end. It's everything.
Yeah, I have to say it's like the only cereal that I would just like put something like if I need it, I would if I'm outside shoveling, you know, digging a hole to plant a tree or something, you know, the usual day at work out at the farm. And then I just was like, man, I'm really craving some Pebbles. I would just might have to drive 30 minutes to go into town to get Pebbles and just to satisfy my cravings. It's the only cereal I'd probably ever do that for.
That's a beautiful thing, Ed. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Mary, for joining us for the cereal showdown. Your input was greatly appreciated.
Thanks for having me. I've been stuck in the struggle. I've been wondering if I'm ever gonna bubble. I'm getting caught up in the tussle instead of using my muscle. When every time I extend my heart to my mother, caught up in the game. Now I'm back up in the hustle. Sometimes I sit in the one. If a nigga pull my number, if it wasn't for the bump, the fam in this world where nobody don't give a damn. But I'm still a man. Got a soul program. I'ma pump my fist. I'm staying ready for this. And you can put this on wish. I never see the abyss. And when I needed a ride, you wouldn't give me a lift. And I won't pop in my crisp. You niggas all on my dick. I wanna change the world. You wanna change your life. I wouldn't put up a fight if I knew it was right. They say everything happened for a reason. Can you tell me why these niggas bleeding? Needing general assistance. I'm here needing public housing. I'm here trying to make ends meet. Trying to get on the feet. But see, I'm really so cloudy. And I know what you don't know. You better get on your mission to get down for your dough. See, the real niggas ready out here taking control. See, I'm screaming I'm old with my pockets on swole. Please, Mr. Postman, quit bringing these bills to my house. Quit bringing this stress to my spouse. Cause I'm ready for the kill on. Look out, look out. Niggas try to run up on the bone. I'ma show you like this, I'ma pull my chrome. I don't wanna have to send a nigga home. Lord, please take me home. Come and take me home.
Coming up so strong, we just want to hear to see what we do. You motivated us at the shows we seen too. And I really hope they listen to what we spit on these songs. You might have been through something, hoping nothing like gone. Like one said, we never make it. Like 230 million in their faces. And I really thought someone put us on and he left. Crossed over. Back to the hood, we soldiers. The music didn't make it back, scandalous. But fate kicked in award shows and we winning now. Gotta keep it coming, food in my baby's mouth. And things have changed like relationships. Ain't getting nothing, now you want to flip. Things you were never made on your own. Now I understand why thugs make it lead a hood, buy a bigger home. Stick in a hood, mess with scrubs, it on. Be gone, you can really help a doctor if it ain't meant to be. With a little ooh-wee, with a little ooh-wee. I'm tired of trying to.
just got them home, got them home.
Address the current Louisville situation concerning the public executions of Breonna Taylor and David McAtee. Also Greg Fisher's and Andy Beshear's use of force against law-abiding citizens, the targeting of journalists by law enforcement, and the lack of action to bring justice to the wrongful doings of Metro Louisville. Hear me, Greg Fisher. I believe much of the future of this city lies in your power to act. I must say I have met Greg several times in and out of Fort Hall at U of L, and escorting him and the Secret Service on the jets. And what I have to tell citizens of Louisville is Greg is a skillful crony that is great at lobbying money for foundations for the university, making people filthy rich like John Schnatter and James Ramsey by funneling checks through the Board of Trustees. He's personal friends with Churchill Down executives, Yum Brand millionaires, and Kentucky Bourbon tycoons. But Greg Fisher doesn't know how to address the majority of Louisville citizens. Every conversation, Greg goes back to discussing finances and how everything is out of his control. Fisher can't relate to the people because he's been cooped up in his East End home, sheltering from Corona, and is oblivious of the reality of the majority of Louisville residents that live in a segregated community who experience food shortages because of the lack of incentives for businesses to move into segregated neighborhoods. Greg has failed for years to address the active drug cartels flooding the city with heroin and meth, killing tens of people every day, while the homeless population are in the thousands, if not 10,000, with families living in their cars and hookers spreading AIDS and hepatitis, living on block corners. This is my advice to ease the tension. Either Greg Fisher needs to resign, or he needs to take action to fire all the police officers involved in the Breonna Taylor case from the top chief, which is already gone, but relieve the present one as well for his targeting of the arrest of the press, down to firing the cops that delivered the warrant. Let go of everyone involved from the time of the incident until now. Even fire the majority of the investigators. They're taking too long. We the people know who is guilty. The entire hierarchy is at fault. Go ahead and fire all the majors while you're at it. Revamp the police department and rehire qualified officers according to new standards. Police should be treated like any other worker in the workforce. I've been fired from plenty of jobs with no explanations. Corporate America can fire someone for the way they dress or the way they shave. If you're in an accident, businesses let you go. So it's time to fire police officers for being prejudiced, bullying citizens, and harassing the public. If Greg did this, he wouldn't have to resign. But I haven't seen any action. Truthfully, it's not entirely his fault. Beshear and the Attorney General should be the ones resigning for the use of the National Guard to slaughter David McAtee in the streets and the judge's lack of action on the Taylor case. The problem is they're too big to fail in this state. We really don't want to see the Commonwealth collapse and be America's first failed state in the heartland. Greg Fisher could save Louisville. He could save Kentucky from escalating into violence. And he could stop outside groups from coming with an intention to gain control of territories across the metropolis. If Greg would walk away from it now, he could save us all. The people who elected you no longer have the confidence in you to protect our community. Please hear this advice before the city begins to crumble and is the epicenter of a war against tyranny.
Wow. Another episode under our belts. I think we're really starting to hit our stride. I want to give a special thanks to all of our guests who joined us on this episode of The Aftermath.
Daniel Matcliffe, Hangtime Eric, the one and only Hatchet, and of course, the lovely, beautiful Mary Daiquiri. As I look forward on this cursed year, I'm reminded of the words of Henry David Thoreau, who, writing in Civil Disobedience and Other Essays, said, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. What is called resignation is confirmed desperation. From the desperate city you go into the desperate country and have to console yourself with the bravery of minks and muskrats. A stereotyped but unconscious despair is concealed even under what are called the games and amusements of mankind. There is no play in them, for this comes after work. But it is a characteristic of wisdom not to do desperate things." As I meditate upon that and look forward to November, I hope that we bring a little bit of amusement and games to you, our fair listeners. So thanks again from Zachary Daiquiri. I hope you tune in next time.
So the Beirut bombing has further exposed a failure in worldwide intelligence. Since global security is obviously a disaster, and the international community has no ability to sufficiently keep civil society safe from an unstable economy built on false pretenses, without a way to protect us from biological weapons and explosives, then it is likely the explanation given to us that the origination of the coronavirus was caused naturally has been falsely presented to the public in fear of civil revolt. Thank you for listening to The Aftermath. Arm yourself with knowledge, global residents. We met in the spring of 2020, locked up in quarantine. Together we prayed. And brothers and sisters, I'll never let you go. Good night and goodbye.